tuning in to another episode of Sneedcast Industry Update, the series where we'll let you know what's new in the world of manufacturing, processing, packaging, and so much more. We'll be dropping a new episode on a bi-weekly basis to keep you up to date with the latest news and insights that affect your business. I'm your host, Alexa, and today we'll be discussing topics ranging from disruptions in the supply chain, to cultivating poultry for human consumption, to busting workplace schemes, and finally to picking a bone with the wrong company. With raw material disruptions on the rise, manufacturers are being kept on their toes, seeing as though they've had to not only find substitutions for ingredients, but they've also been tasked with the challenge of having to change their package labeling on the fly. Raw material shortages aren't the only thing affecting the industry. There's also inflation, supply chain crunches, and even natural events including limited harvests or severe weather. According to Bob Tilling, VP of Sales at Calic, in the era of shortage, labeling and artwork must be updated regularly and often at short notice to ensure compliance. So business leaders must embrace technology to ensure ingredient substitutions run without disruptions. With many industries being affected and ingredients either becoming scarce or expensive, manufacturers are turning towards sourcing alternatives. This leads to substitutions becoming more widespread. An example of a common substitution today includes sunflower oil being substituted with rapeseed oil, since it's a close alternative. Even though substitutions and reformulations are becoming common, the problem lies with constantly having to update labels, artwork, and packaging. General Mills has mentioned that the ingredients issue is forcing change at a far greater pace. Some products are being reformulated over 20 times between January and April. This is surprising, seeing as though many ingredient tweaks are rare, since adjustments to tried and tested formulations normally take place every 2 to 3 years. Some companies are adjusting to these roadblocks easier than others, while highly regulated industries like pharmaceuticals, cosmetics, and food and beverage companies are facing lengthier substitution processes. According to a UK Food Standards Agency report, lead times are approximately 6 to 12 weeks for label changes. This is not only assuming that there are no other disruptions. If labeling and artwork cannot be adjusted at the same pace, then production could be severely delayed. So in order to adapt to the change in pace, companies are turning toward in-house solutions. Typically, companies would outsource their labeling and artwork task, but the entire process takes entirely too much time, and time is a luxury that companies can no longer afford. Not only is outsourcing a costly process, but there's no such thing as complete visibility during the operation, and there's the ever-present threat that inconsistencies can be present due to human error. Companies are now using end-to-end label and artwork management systems, also known as LAM. The more advanced LAM systems offer the ability to identify every instance of a specific ingredient used on every product label and update accordingly. Another practice that's also being seen across the industry is shrinkflation. This is where products reduce in size but remain the same in price. However, the tactic will lead to a change in product composition with a knock-on labeling effect. Overall, the idea is that since global businesses are vulnerable to various supply chain issues, a solid digital framework for product reactivity and industrial agility is required. Talking about food substitutions, pretty soon we could be eating a new kind of meat. Good Meat, the cultivated meat division of food technology company Eat Just Incorporated, announced that it has received a no-questions letter from the U.S. FDA. But what does this mean? The letter itself means that after following a rigorous evaluation, the FDA has accepted the company's conclusion that its first poultry product, cultivated chicken, is safe to eat. Good Meat is a step closer to being able to bring cultivated meat products to restaurants and retail in the U.S. In fact, 2 years earlier, the company had already released a product in Singapore. While the FDA has approved this product, Good Meats is currently working to earn the approval of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. But once approval is gained, Jose Andres, a world-renowned chef and humanitarian, will become the first restaurateur in the country to offer Good Meats chicken to customers at a restaurant in Washington, D.C. Josh Chetrick, co-founder and CEO of Good Meat and Eat Just, said, "Since Singapore approved Good Meat for sale, we knew this moment was next." Jose Andres furthers that thought by saying, "The future of our planet depends on how we feed ourselves, and we have a responsibility to look beyond the horizon for smarter, sustainable ways to eat." Good Meat is doing just that, pushing the boundary on innovative new solutions. As the United States joins Singapore as a global leader in creating a regulatory pathway to market for real, safe, high-quality meat produced directly from animal cells, the path to meeting the growing global demand for safe, sustainable protein is getting closer and closer. In fact, some analysis have predicted that cultivated meat could become a $25 billion global industry by 2030. With so many advancements in the industry, you have to wonder, how did it all get started? Over the course of many months, Good Meat's development, manufacturing, and regulatory teams prepared extensive documentation for the FDA to review. The documentation detailed the media used to grow its non-genetically modified cells, It also contained details on the purity, identity, and stability of chicken cells, used as well as a thorough description of its consistent, robust, and scalable process, which does not require antibiotics at any stage. Surprisingly enough, Good Meat was able to demonstrate that harvested cultivated chicken met poultry microbiological and purity standards. In addition, it had significantly cleaner microbiological levels than conventional chicken. In Singapore, 70% of individuals who have tried Good Meat's cultivated chicken said it tasted as good or better than conventional chicken. 90% said they would substitute conventional chicken with cultivated chicken. Lastly, 90% of restaurant operators said that they would be open to selling cultivated meat and possibly replacing the traditional product with cultivated product. Within a decade, we could very much be seeing a more sustainable approach within our meat, poultry, and seafood industry. Just when you thought that we weren't going to have any workplace violations in this episode, here we go bursting your bubble. In Des Moines, Iowa, U.S. District Chief Judge Stephanie Rosa has sentenced Nestle Muerichong, 46, and Bertino Weirs, 51, U.S. residents and Federated States of Micronesia citizens, to 48 months in prison, 3 years of supervised release, and nearly $70,000 in restitution. But what kind of acts merited these kinds of punishments? The defendants pleaded guilty in October of 2022 to 2 counts of unlawful conduct with respect to documents. They were also charged with trafficking and forced labor since they recruited 2 young men from Micronesia to come to the United States and work for the defendants' financial gain. Well, Nestle and Bertino decided to withhold the passports of 2 men to coerce them into working in a meat processing plant. According to court documents, in December of 2019, the 2 victims left their homes in Micronesia and traveled to the U.S. with the promise of a better life. They were told they could work and send money back to their families. However, once the 2 victims arrived, Nestle and Bertino confiscated their passports and obtained jobs for them at a meat processing plant in Ottumwa, Iowa. Each week, the victims would have the majority of their paychecks seized, and they would be left with bare minimum. As if taking someone's hard-earned money wasn't bad enough, Nestle and Bertino also imposed debts on them, limited and monitored their communication with their family, and isolated them, which ended up creating a system of total financial dependence. In other words, the victims found themselves in a situation where they could not only speak the language, but they couldn't go home. So they had to comply or they'd be left homeless. According to Kristen Clark, the Assistant Attorney General of the Justice Department's Civil Rights Division, these defendants then proceeded to callously exploit the victims, using their power over them to profit off their hard work. The Department of Justice remains committed to seeking justice for survivors of forced labor schemes, holding perpetrators accountable and stripping wrongdoers of their illegal profits. What happens when you pick a bone with Jack Daniels? Well, VIP Products is finding out the hard way since they've really landed themselves in the doghouse now. The Supreme Court is hearing a spirited dispute between the whiskey maker, Jack Daniels, and the manufacturer of dog toys, VIP Products. The debate started when VIP Products decided to parody one of their liquor bottles and labels. This posed the question, has the toy maker infringed on Jack Daniels' trademark? Well, let's take a look for ourselves. The original Jack Daniels bottle has the words Old No. 7 Brand and Tennessee Sour Mash Whiskey. On the other hand, the dog toy parody has the text, the Old No. 2 on your Tennessee carpet. The original bottle notes that the alcohol volume is 40%. The parody, on the other hand, features a dog's face and says it's 43% poo by volume and 100% smelly. Although the parody notes in small font that this product is not affiliated with the Jack Daniel's distillery, Jack Daniel's isn't amused. According to Lisa Blatt, the company's attorney, Jack Daniel's loves dogs and appreciates a good joke as much as anyone, but Jack Daniel's likes its consumers even more and doesn't want them confused or associating its fine whiskey with dog poop. In a later statement, Blatt also said, Jack Daniels welcomes jokes at its expense, but the toy sold misleads customer profits from Jack Daniels' hard-earned goodwill and associates its whiskey with excrement. With all of Jack Daniels' concerns voiced, we can begin to look at the Lanham Act, which just so happens to be the country's major trademark law. It prohibits using a trademark in a way that's likely to cause confusion as to the origin, sponsorship, or approval of goods, which is what Jack Daniels is claiming the dog toy does. On the other hand, Bennett E. Cooper, VIP Products lawyer, told the justices in the court filing that Jack Daniels seeks to use the Lanham Act to muzzle even VIP Products LLC's playful dog toy parody. After a lower court sided with VIP Products, brands like Nike, Campbell's Soup, Patagonia, and Levi Strauss were quick to come to Jack Daniels' defense. Not to mention that the company also has the support of the Biden administration. It's been a minute since we've hit the road, but we're picking back up on our We're Coding Everywhere tour. And this time, the Booth Boys are in Portland, Oregon for the Food Northwest Process and Packaging Expo. So we'll be turning it over to Daniel so that he can tell us a little bit more about the show and what's been noteworthy so far. Over to you, Daniel.
Thank you, Alexa. Santos and I are currently enjoying the Food Northwest Processing and Packaging Expo. It's been a great show so far. It can only get better from here for the next 2 days. This year marks the 51st year that the show has been running. Of course, like any other show, COVID did have to cause a little bit of a hiatus for the show, but it's been back for the past 2 years, which glad they're back. It offers a great opportunity for attendees and exhibitors to connect and attendees for them to learn about new technology that helps out in the food manufacturing industry. Now, of course, it's not just about learning new things that the exhibitors are showcasing. Trade show also offers world-class classes that are offered here that are picked out by food processor members for the trade show. So that gives the attendees and exhibitors that decide to take those classes to learn a bit more and to assist them with any training needs that they may need for the food processing industry. Now, with the classes, there are also events that you can attend to. I know Santos and I are about to head to one right now, and that is the Chairman's Happy Hour. So we'll definitely be having a bit of a couple of drinks here and there after this part. So with that note, back to you, Alexa.
Thanks for that recap, Daniel. Stay tuned for our next episode of Sneedcast Industry Update. And like always, make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and hit that notification bell down below to stay up to date with all of our great content. Follow our social media platforms to see all of our updates as we continue on our Word Coding Everywhere tour. Also, let us know what topics you'd like to see us talk about here on the show. We look forward to hearing from y'all. Bye, guys.